defend jobs and services, nationalize P&O. Tuck must call emergency solidarity demonstration to demand seize the ships. Rob Williams, Socialist Party industrial organizer. The cold brutality of the bosses was shown by P&O Ferries on the 17th of March, when it sacked 800 employees by Zoom. Even more so, security was primed, with some acting, as if they had powers of arrest. In those brutal minutes, the entire facade of national unity that Boris Johnson has been assembling over the Ukraine war, as with COVID, with the full backing of New Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer, was ripped down and shown to be the sham it is. So too has the so-called concern of Tory ministers, after it was revealed that the government was tipped off about the plans of P&O and its parent company DP World. Tory Dover MP Natalie Elphick joined protests, but was rightly heckled, because last autumn she refused to vote in Parliament against fire and rehire. Trade union members have rallied to the cause of the workers and their union, the RMT, on the dockside in Dover, and again in the days after at solidarity rallies and protests in Hull, Larne, Liverpool, Dover, and London. Among those who marched in Dover were some who remembered the year-long strike by the National Union of Seamen, NUS, now a part of the RMT, 34 years ago, when over 2,000 ferry workers were sacked. That dispute was defeated, despite tremendous support and solidarity from rank-and-file trade unionists, because the workers in the NUS were isolated. This can't happen now. In the first covered summer of 2020, the likes of British Airways rolled out fire and rehire, and were shamefully joined by the Blairite Labour Council of Tower Hamlets. And now their Coventry counterparts are spending millions trying to defeat striking bin workers. During lockdown, many companies saw the opportunity to use this brutal method to attack workers' pay, terms and conditions. British Gas workers took 43 days of strike action, but still faced cuts in their income of over £10,000. Those who didn't sign new contracts were made redundant. Car transporters were sent round to pick up the British Gas vans. Behind each one was a worker and their family. But the viciousness of P&O has been on another level. There wasn't even a consultation period, just a prepared assault on these workers. They have to be defended. Fire and rehire became a wave, as the bosses picked up the baton from the likes of British Airways. Unite has estimated that 1 in 10 of its members have been affected by it. P&O might try to argue that UK employment law doesn't apply, as these are maritime workers, but this cannot be accepted, and whatever is the case, many other employers will now be looking to see if P&O get away with it. Many workers will see that this is the regime that could be in place when the new tranche of free ports is brought in by Boris Johnson, opening the door to more trampling of workers' contracts and national agreements. Bosses' profits. The balance of forces has tilted slightly in some sectors, as the economy has recovered from the pandemic lockdowns. Labor and skills shortages, along with strained supply lines, have meant that some groups of workers such as HGV drivers have been able to win significant pay rises, on condition that they have been organized and willing to take action. But this is a reminder that when their profits are at stake, the bosses will use the most brutal methods. This was virtually admitted by the company, citing alleged losses. Yet just this month DP World has announced that it made profits of $896 million, £751 million, in 2021, up from $846 million in 2020. It has also backed a £147 million deal to sponsor European golf, when there is a hole in the P&O Workers' Pension Fund of £146 million. But how much profit P&O makes must not decide what happens to workers, their families and communities. It merely shows that it can't be trusted to run these services. P&O must be nationalized and brought into public ownership under democratic workers' control and management. The Tory government has taken emergency action against Russian oligarchs by imposing sanctions and has threatened to seize their properties. But the P&O sackings show that employers, backed by their Tory government, are also capable of acting in a dictatorial fashion. Correctly, workers shouted seize the ships on the Dover protest. But no trust can be placed in Johnson's government. However, it can be forced under pressure to act. This poses the need for a massive movement that must be built to support the sacked workers, especially drawing in other workers in transport, haulage and the docks. Many of these workers have themselves been in dispute recently, and the RMT has launched strikes on London Underground against Tory cuts administered by Blairite Labour Mayor Sadiq Khan. The RMT is also being forced to prepare action nationally because of similar attacks by Network Rail and the train operating companies. Such is the widespread anger, there is real potential to mobilize workers in solidarity. Already it is being reported that some of the agency staff who were lined up to take the P&O workers' jobs have refused. The Trades Union Congress has finally called a national demo in June against the cost of living squeeze and the Tory and employers' pay freezes and wage cuts. But now is the moment. Whether it's in central London, or at one of the ferry ports, such a mobilization is needed, and can be the platform for a victory.